This is WCNO, listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is Make the Most of Each Day, Part 2. My scripture is the 90th Psalm. My text is Psalms 90, 10, 11, and 12. Verse 10 states, the days of our life the days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. 80 is the normal span of a human life. In the days that this expression was created, the span was considered to be 70 years. Many lived fewer years due to violence, accident, and disease, and a few lived longer. In any case, it is much briefer than 1,000 years, let alone God's eternity. Of the lives of the Israelites in the wilderness, all those that were numbered when they came out of Egypt, about 20 years old, were to die within 38 years. They numbered those only that were able to go forth to walk, most of whom we may suppose were between 20 and 40, who therefore must have all died before 80 years old. And many before 60, and perhaps much sooner, which was far short of the years of the lives of their fathers. Before the time of Moses, it was usual for men to live about 100 years, or nearly 150. But since 70 or 80 is the common end, which few exceed, and multitudes never come near, our whole life is toilsome and troublesome. And perhaps in the midst of the years we count upon, it is cut off. We are taught for all this to stand in awe. The angels that sin know the power of God's anger. Sinners in hell know it. But which of us can truly describe it? Few seriously consider it as they might and ought. Those who make a mock of at sin and make light of Christ surely do not know the power of God's anger. Who among us can dwell with that devouring fire? Verse 11 states, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. God's wrath toward his unfaithful people is in accordance with the fear, reverence, faith, and humble holiness seeking love that they ought to have toward him. The psalmist speaks of one afraid of God's anger and amazed at the greatness of the power of it. Who knows how far the power of God's anger can reach and how deep it can wound? Verse 12 states, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This refers especially to the ability to make the most of one's days, since they are so few. The heart of wisdom would enable the faithful to live by the right priorities, the fear of God. Instead of wasting our precious fleeting days in pursuing fancies which leave the possessors forever poor, let us seek the forgiveness of sin and an inheritance in heaven. Let us pray that the work of the Holy Spirit may appear in converting our hearts, and that the beauty of holiness may be seen in our conduct. Lord, give us grace duly to consider how far few our days are, and how little a while we have to live in this world. We must live under a constant apprehension of the shortness and uncertainty of life, and the near approach of death and eternity. We must so number our days as to compare our work with them, and mind it accordingly with a double diligence, as those that have no time to waste. Those that will learn this arithmetic must pray for divine instruction, must go to God and ask of Him to teach them by His Spirit, to put them upon considering, and to give them a good understanding. We then number our days to good purpose, when thereby our hearts are inclined and engaged to true wisdom, that is, to the practice of serious godliness. A Miami-based operator running 136 Popeye locations across Florida and Georgia filed for Chapter 11 protection on January 15, 2026 in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for Southern District of Florida. The company cited a familiar mix of post-pandemic ailments, rising inflation, declining customer traffic, and mounting debt of roughly $130 million. Popeye's parent restaurant brands International pushed back on any suggestion that Salomon's collapse reflects on the broader chain. Popeye's president, Peter Perdue, told the system that a large majority of their restaurants are very profitable, in line with our system average, and that Salomon's announcement does not reflect the healthy unit economics franchisees are experiencing. But the reassurances come to an uncomfortable moment. Popeye's domestic same-store sales declined 4.9% in the U.S. last quarter, the fourth straight quarterly decline and the fifth of the past six periods. CEO Josh Kobza has been direct about the problem. We know Popeyes is capable of such more, much more, and we are taking decisive action to put the brand back on the right path, Cobbser said. The chain increased its Popeyes field operations team by 75% and launched restaurant coaching visits with a focus on consistent speed, accuracy, and reliability in every restaurant every day. In November, RBI taped Peter Perdue, formerly Burger King's chief operating officer, to lead the turnaround. And Perdue overhauled the chain's senior leadership team almost immediately after taking the role. The broader context makes things harder. Popeyes is navigating an increasingly brutal fast food chicken market. Competitors like Wingstop and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers have surged in popularity with Gen Z, squeezing legacy players for the same customers. Industry observers have described the current moment as a renewed chicken walls era. Founded in 1987, Salomon once built one of the largest franchise portfolios in the Popeyes system. At one point, the franchise owned locations in other states, but between 2012 and 2018, it sold off its units in Illinois' Missouri, Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi to focus on growth in Georgia and Florida. That decades-long consolidation strategy, but everything on two states is now unwinding in bankruptcy court, three locations at a time. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus was crucified on a cross for our sins. While on the cross, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But after 3 days, he arose from the dead with all powers in his hands. Because he loves us so much, let us be obedient to his word. Now, a breath of fresh air, Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is making good decisions. All of us have to make decisions daily. Voices, texts, and emails await you at work, home, school, and on the internet with Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and other communication mediums. They are waiting for you, and they stand at the intersections of social life and family. You can't eliminate their presence, but you can prepare for their invitation. Remember who you are. You are God's child. You have been bought with the most precious commodity in the history of the universe, the blood of Christ. You are indwelled by the Spirit of the living God. You are being equipped for an eternal assignment that will empower you to live in the very presence of God. You have been set apart for a holy calling. You are His. The devil has no jurisdiction over you, although he acts like he does. He walks around pretending that he wants to help you when he really wants to kill, destroy, and steal from you. Don't be fooled by the temptation he brings your way, but resist him and turn to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Decide now what you will say when the voices speak. For the youth who are tempted by peer pressure to break the law or make an unwise decision, decide now to say no before the temptation comes your way. Ask God for wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Choose obedience, and as you do, you can expect blessings. The blessing of a clean conscience, the blessing of a good night's sleep, the blessing of God's fellowship, and the blessing of God's favor. There is no guarantee of an easy or trouble-free life. It is the assurance of God's help, and it is yours to claim. Psalms 34:19 says, "The good man does not escape all troubles. He has them too, but the Lord helps him in each and every one." Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news. Repent and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to continue to pray, trust and obey his word, and take purposeful action for his glory. Stay encouraged, my friends, and keep looking.